Welcome to the podcast. I'm here today with Charlie Ornstein, one of ProPublica's investigative reporters who covers health. For the past several years, Charlie has also been president of the American Association of Healthcare Reporters and a close follower of the goings-on of the Affordable Care Act while also investigating some very important aspects of it for us. So, Charlie, let's get right into it. What in the world has gone wrong here?
A lot, in short. I think the problems are many, and it's almost a matter of where to begin. Essentially, the main public point of entry for the Affordable Care Act is a website called healthcare.gov. And this was intended to be a place that people who live in 36 states would go to sign up for health insurance if they didn't get it from their employers or they weren't on Medicare. But the website from the very get-go, from the time it was put live on October 1st, has not functioned.
Now let's back up here because we all live on the web. I mean, you go to Amazon, you do a click, you get your book. I mean, how hard is this? Is this a website that called for some extraordinary sort of technological skill? Is this beyond what anyone's ever tried?
Well, indeed, the president himself compared this to Kayak, which is a site you would go to book an airline ticket. But it's quite a bit more complicated than that. There's a lot of moving parts. So in addition to sort of the front end, which is where consumers would go and fill out information about themselves and fill out what they were looking for, there's a lot of back end things that have to go right. For example, they have to verify that you are who you are. So you have to answer questions about yourself, and then there's a company that processes that information and feeds back that indeed you are who you are and you're eligible. Second thing that has to happen is if you are applying for a subsidy, so you don't make a lot of money, you make under 4 times the poverty level, which is, you know, can be up to a middle income, you have to qualify for a subsidy. And there's a separate authorization and authentication system that goes on for that. And then finally, once you go through the process and you sign up, that information has to be transmitted to insurance companies accurately. All of those steps did not click well together. And while the contractors that were responsible for each of those steps said they tested them individually, until the very end, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is running this whole operation, never tested it together. And indeed, when they turned the switch, it all fell apart.
Well, now let's back up a little bit here. How long have they been working on this thing?
They've been working on this for 3.5 years. The Affordable Care Act was passed in 2010, and I imagine that work began a short time afterward. But you have to remember there were a couple intervening events that are important to consider. The first was, for the first year of its existence, the Affordable Care Act was under attack by critics who were suing to overturn it. And so I think the administration was somewhat hesitant to go full bore on something that could actually be repealed. The second thing was there was an election in 2012, and if Barack Obama was not reelected president, this thing would have gone away. So I think that slowed things to some extent as people were focusing their efforts on the legal battles, focusing their efforts on the election, and this website clearly did not get as much attention as it needed to, perhaps because the people who were in leadership positions did not understand and recognize the technical complexity of it. But it also could be that it didn't have the right leaders in place to handle that.
Okay, so they've had multiple years to work on it, and maybe there was some delay, but it's been clear for a while now that this thing was going to go live. When did they, as we say in the business, beta test it? That's a very important part of your software. You want to kind of, you know, before you go live, we do this at ProPublica with our apps, obviously on a much smaller scale. You know, we test and see whether things work. We bring people in to play around, click around, and we always find bugs and dead links and things that don't work, and then we fix them. So how much time did the government spend beta testing this?
So each of the different contractors tested their own components in the run-up to October 1st. And it's been reported that several days before the launch, the government did an overall end-to-end run, and it failed. And yet they still went ahead and turned it live. I think one of the biggest issues that is still just totally not clear to me is why at that start date, there wasn't a warning put on the site that said, hey, folks, come back in a few days, come back in a few weeks. Instead, what happened was the administration was out there loudly proclaiming, go to healthcare.gov. It's open for business. Sign up for coverage. Lady Gaga tweeted it. It was on all of the stations. The president was talking about it. The Health and Human Services Secretary was saying, it's out there. Sign up. Get covered. But the infrastructure to get covered wasn't working. And so they were directing millions of people to a website that was completely incapable of handling that traffic instead of saying, putting up some sort of warning signs that we're having some troubles here.
Right. And you're saying they knew that it didn't work. I mean, again, you know, at ProPublica, we're an all-digital platform. If we attempted to turn something on and it didn't work, we wouldn't go live with it. Now, there may have been some political reason, right? It went live the very day the shutdown began.
Well, certainly. It was intended always to go live on October 1st. So it wasn't No matter what. So it wasn't related to the shutdown. I mean, ironically, the situation is that the shutdown was intended to defund Obamacare. And instead, for 2 weeks, the problems with this website were really a secondary story to the shutdown, which did not achieve its aims and, in fact, gave a two-week running start for them to try to begin figuring out what these problems are. But they are so deep and so ingrained that they obviously remained after the government reopened. They're going to be here for several more weeks. The government clearly recognizes how deep these problems are, and it's a deep embarrassment.
Okay, but let's take a sort of giant step back from this, because Obama's going to be president for two more years. This program is going to be with us at least that long. Will this have great meaning in the larger scheme of things, even assuming that it takes more than 2 weeks? Let's say it takes 2 or 3 weeks, but in 3 weeks it's working. What of it?
So that's a great question. I think there's two possible scenarios. One is this could be a very interesting historical footnote on the launch of a major domestic initiative in this country. The second is, if it is not fixed soon enough, here's what could happen. On January 1st is when coverage begins. So this run-up in October and November and December is to get people signed up for coverage that doesn't start until January 1st. In order for this to work, you need a balance of people who are sick and a balance of people who are healthy, a balance of people who are older and a balance of people who are younger. The reason is that it creates what's called a risk pool, meaning all these people go in together, and those with a lot of health expenses are sort of balanced out with those who don't have as much health expenses. If you have barriers to sign up for coverage, only those who really need the health coverage, those who are sicker, will go to sign up. And the people who are healthier will be like, I'm not going to do this, you know? And the concern is that at the point at which coverage begins, come January 1st, it starts and it's only sicker people in there. They're beginning to run up expensive bills, right? And come at the end of next year, when it's time for the insurers to give their rates for the following year, the insurers will do one of two things. First, they'll decide we're not participating. We've lost too much money. Second, they will increase their rates to make up for their losses in the first year. If that happens, that begins what's called a death spiral. And the death spiral means if rates go up, say, $300 a month, if you're healthier, that's even less incentive to be part of it for the second year. And if the healthy people then pull out in the second year, then the third year, it's even more of a death spiral. And it's very hard to recover from one of these death spirals. So that's the greatest fear, is you want the risk pool to be balanced when this thing starts. And the longer it takes in terms of the sign-up period, the more you're pushing away the people who you really need to have in there.
So it's absolutely crucial that it be as easy experience as possible for a young, healthy person to get on. You don't want them trying 20 times.
Well, they've already tried 20 times. So the issue is you want them to be able to get on. You want the front end to work. They're working on that. That, in some ways, is not easy, but it is somewhat easy, and they're working to fix it. There's also huge problems on the back end. And on the back end is where the reports are made from the government to insurers. And what became apparent in the first couple weeks is that the data was really flawed. So HHS was sending information to insurers where they were, within the course of one day, enrolling and disenrolling the same person, or enrolling somebody in three different plans. So what was happening is these insurers have systems which automatically generate letters. So people could be getting letters, enrolling them and disenrolling them. The insurers had total junk data. They did not know. It wasn't time stamped. It was just date stamped. So you didn't know which one is the latest one. You didn't know which to go with. They're having to hand investigate these. And as the flow continues, that's not going to work in any sort of meaningful numbers. They have to figure out this back end. And just today, you know, HHS recognized this is a huge problem. This is their top priority. They have to figure out how to get the enrollment process working, because if you fix the front end or make it easier for people to come in the door, you're just going to have a huge number on the back end. And if that is not working, it's going to break down again.
Now, what about the larger picture? Let's assume for a moment that they solve these problems and we don't go into a death spiral. There have been a number of stories about what's happening in these various localities. I mean, in some rural areas, you're not seeing the price fall off that people hope for. You have seen it in some other places. I mean, if you sort of, again, step away from the glitch aspect of the story, how is this thing shaping up?
Well, in some ways, the Affordable Care Act is a bit of a, you know, misstatement, in that for some people, their costs will go up. This is not just a situation in which costs will go down for everybody. And in fact, There are hundreds of thousands of people across the country whose insurance plans have dropped them.
And why is that?
Because the plan and the plan design was not enough to meet the requirements of the Affordable Care Act in terms of the benefits that it provided to people. And so the plan just dropped them. So those people, unlike what the president said, which is if you like your plan, you can keep it, they're being dropped from the plan that they like. So they cannot keep it. Now they're being sent to go shop, which is fine. But what they're finding in some situations is that the price is much more than they paid. So for those people, they're really doubly upset, right? They were happy. And their price is going up.
Now, to be clear, they had a pretty lousy plan before, right?
Many of them did, right. But it was enough because they didn't have health demands. So they didn't realize it was lousy because they didn't ever use it. It was just enough to cover their catastrophic benefits. And they didn't really care about that. And now they're being forced in that same health situation to pay more for something that they don't think they're going to use. Now, the other side of that is there are many people who are seeing their health costs go down. If you're older, it's likely your health costs are going to go down. If you were uninsurable before because of a pre-existing condition, you're going to be able to find coverage. This is a guaranteed issue, meaning if you go into this market and want a plan, you're going to get a plan. So you see these—
But maybe not at the price you want.
You see these dual stories playing out. And I think it was wrong to sort of market it as if you're happy with your plan, you're going to keep it because that didn't prove to be so. And that this is affordable because for some people it isn't.
Now, there are people who are looking at all this, critics of this thing, who've been critics from the beginning, who would say that this is a fundamentally flawed way of thinking about a major part of our economy. After all, it's, 20% of the economy is healthcare at this
point? It's nearing 20%. I think we're at 17%.
Okay. So people would say, what in the world are we doing turning over more government involvement to a part of the economy that, you know, whatever its flaws— the market was a better way of doing this. This is just too big, too complicated, too difficult for government to accomplish, and that these glitches are really just a taste of the way it's going to work out over the next few years.
Well, the government is not providing the healthcare in this situation. There are private plans. The government is sort of the interface in which a consumer goes to the government website and signs up for a private plan, and then your relationship is with the private plan. Now, where the government fits in is it provides a subsidy if your income is below a certain level, and if you enter Medicaid, which is the insurance program for the poor, the government is picking up 100% of the tab in the first 3 years for that. So the government is eating a lot of the cost, but they're not actually running the insurance plans.
So you don't see the computer system as a metaphor for the whole thing as of yet?
It's hard to know. I think a lot will be determined by Thanksgiving. That's the date at which a lot of experts have said this thing has to be fixed or this is really going to be a turkey for the president. And so I think we're going to find out. It's 4 weeks from now or a little more than 4 weeks from now. And if it's not fixed, a whole lot of the underlying assumptions that are going into this will have to be reexamined.
That was Charlie Ornstein, healthcare reporter, ProPublica. To read more of his coverage, go to ProPublica.org. I am certain that we will be back in the podcast closet with Charlie again in the coming weeks as this story continues to play out. Catch you next time.